From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues a message entitled The Conversion of the Ethiopian Eunuch, part of a series of studies in the Book of Acts. Before Dr. Cairns comes, please enjoy this devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning by Morning. Today's text is found in Psalm 91 and verse 3. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler. God delivers his people from the snare of the fowler in two senses, from and out of. First, he delivers them from the snare, does not let them enter it. And secondly, if they should be caught therein, he delivers them out of it. The first promise is the most precious to some, the second is the best to others. He shall deliver thee from the snare. How? Trouble is often the means whereby God delivers us. God knows that our backsliding will soon end in our destruction, and he in mercy sends the rod. We say, Lord, why is this? Not knowing that our trouble has been the means of delivering us from far greater evil. Many have been thus saved from ruin by their sorrows and their crosses. These have frightened the birds from the net. At other times, God keeps his people from the snare of the fowler by giving them great spiritual strength, so that when they are tempted to do evil, they say, How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? But what a blessed thing it is that if the believer shall, in an evil hour, come into the net, yet God will bring him out of it. O backslider, be cast down, but do not despair. Wanderer though thou hast been, hear what thy Redeemer saith. Return, O backsliding children, I will have mercy upon you. But you say you cannot return, for you are a captive. Then listen to the promise. Surely he shall deliver thee out of the snare of the fowler. Thou shalt yet be brought out of all evil into which thou hast fallen. And though thou shalt never cease to repent of thy ways, yet he that hath loved thee will not cast thee away. He will receive thee, and give thee joy and gladness, that the bones which he has broken may rejoice. No bird of paradise shall die in the fowler's net.
These days are drawing close to an end. God has been working on you, my dear friend. Your heart has been tender, though honor so cold. For you are hungry, a message behold. Would God take you down the things thou hast heard? But continue thou in the things thou hast learned, hast learned. Every seed sown in love will be reaped in your life. But continue thou in the things thou hast learned. The journey you must have faced, champions to make you if you run his race. Your strength is made perfect when it is so weak. His grace is sufficient.
In 2 Chronicles 7:14, the Lord said, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sin, and will heal their land." If ever there was a time when believers in the Lord Jesus Christ needed to pray, surely it is now. The moral condition of our land and the apparent powerlessness of our churches cry out for God's people to seek the Lord earnestly for revival. To encourage true Christians in this urgent need to pray, Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer, free of charge, copies of a powerful message by Jonathan Edwards, one of the greatest Christian leaders and thinkers this country has ever produced. The title is typical of Edwards' time, a humble attempt to promote explicit agreement and visible union of God's people in extraordinary prayer for the revival of religion and advancement of Christ's kingdom on earth. Don't let the title put you off. This is a message for this hour. In a 20-page booklet form, Edwards' sermon calls upon believers to unite in earnest prayer for God to come in reviving power upon His church. The great revivals of history have always come as the result of fervent prayer, sometimes on the part of just a few Christians who were burdened to seek God for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in revival power. That power is still available for those who will seek it seriously. To obtain your free copy of this message, you may call our toll-free number, 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you wish, you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Ask for the message, Edwards on Prayer, and we'll be happy to send you a free copy. Continuing this series of studies in the book of Acts, Dr. Cairns is expounding verses 26 through 40 of chapter 8. Philip, one of the first deacons, had been preaching the gospel in Samaria and seeing many people converted to Christ. However, in the midst of that revival, the Lord told him to go to a desert place where he would meet an official from the Ethiopian court traveling back to his native land from Jerusalem. The eunuch was reading from Isaiah's prophecy as he rode, but did not understand its meaning. The Holy Spirit prompted Philip to join the man and to explain the scriptures to him. As the eunuch heard of Christ, he was saved, went on his way rejoicing. In making application of this narrative, Dr. Cairns is describing the character of a soul winner as revealed in Philip. Now to continue this message called The Conversion of the Ethiopian Eunuch, here is Dr. Cairns.
Oh, for a bunch of people who'll do what the Lord tells them to do, who'll go where the Lord tells them to go, who'll forget about their carnal aspirations and their fleshly ambitions, who'll have their heart and their life, their body and their soul, their time and their talents on the altar for God, and who'll say, "Whatsoever the Lord says unto me, that will I do." Philip then is marked by a great communion, and secondly, by a great consecration. It's clear also that he was a man marked by compassion. Now, these are the marks of a soul winner, don't forget. I think that they're not only the marks of Philip the soul winner, but they're the indispensable prerequisites of any man or any woman who's going to do a work for God. Here's a man, and he has a heart that's touched. You see, if you've been in touch with God, your heart is bound to be softened. He has compassion. Clearly, he can leave revival and go after one soul because he sees and understands the value of one soul. Clearly, Philip was a man whose heart yearned for the salvation even of one soul. His heart was touched with the condition of this one benighted soul. He was a man marked by compassion. You know, I think that the greatest curse among God's people today is their hardness of heart. We have Christians in their orthodox, right down the line of Bible doctrine. They can cross every T and they can dot every I. They can learn off their proof text for this chapter, for this doctrine and that doctrine. And I'm not against those things. The Lord enables us to do them more and more. We have Christians who can do those things, however, and have a heart that's as hard as flint. In fact, just last Sabbath morning, before I preached, I was speaking to a Christian. She was given off about an unsee of person. I must say, I didn't like to have to do it before I preached, but I couldn't resist doing it. And I had to be very sharp with her and say, what you need to do is to ask the Lord to give you a soft heart. My, when God's people can look at a world that's going down to hell and they have no compassion, when Christians can look at their loved ones and they're tottering in the edge of the pit and they have no compassion, when we can think of the ministry of God's word and we have no melting of heart, my friend, how carnal have we become? How far from revival are we when we don't pray with passion and we don't preach with passion and we don't labor with tears day and night that God may be glorified in the salvation of the lost? Here's a man with a heart that was touched for souls. He was also marked by great courage. And I think sooner or later, when you get into the work of trying to win souls for Christ, it'll take courage. The devil will try to fill you with the fear of man. Well, sooner or later, you've got to face that fear and say, Lord, fill me with the Holy Ghost and give me courage. It's easy to read here, you know, that the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither, etc. It's very easy to read that. And to read that Philip accosted the man and said, understandest thou what thou readest? But I want you just to think of the scene here. This was no ordinary traveler. In Britain, we would call him the Chancellor of the Exchequer. I think in America he would be, what, the Secretary to the Treasury or something like that. I don't know. It's the man that handles the national economy anyway. So he's no mean individual. You can see his great train, his entourage of black slaves as they drive his chariot, as they bring up the rear, as they surround him with their protective forces on his long journey back to his native land. Here then is a man of dignity. Here is a man of nobility. Here's a man of great political position and power. And the Lord says to Philip, go and speak to that man. You know, those are the hardest people to speak to. Ah, yes, we can practically all speak to the down-and-out drunk on the street. We can practically all speak to the person whose life is all washed up with the open evidences of sin. But when the Lord tells you to go to the rich and the educated and the noble and the people in eminent positions, how the devil would come and say, oh, now be careful. His education may be so great that he can trip you up. He may make you look a fool. He may do this or the other thing. And it takes courage to speak the word for God. My friend, may the Lord give us courage. For I think you'll find that those who think they've climbed high need the gospel even more. When I was flying over to Northern Ireland, the plane was half empty. Well, you know what the airlines are. If there's 50% of the seats empty, you'll make sure and stick you right beside somebody else, and you have to sit cramped the whole way. Well, that's exactly what they did, and I wondered why. The youngish man sat down beside me. Turns out that he's got a fairly eminent position in the U.S. forces overseas. Works with a lot of other officers. And when we got to talking, now there he was with a career that was going places and a home that was in shambles. Divorce behind him. Family split up. His own heart, clearly, had been broken. His own life had been smashed. He needed the gospel. My friend, let's say this. We need the courage to take the gospel to men and women and give them the news of salvation. Now, that's the man. He's marked by his communion, his consecration, his compassion, and his courage. Now, I want you to notice very carefully what his message was. In verse 35, we read, Philip opened his mouth, and he began at the same scripture, and preached unto him Jesus. I think Philip was one of the best preachers and the best soul winners the world has ever seen. He knew how to go about it. If you look at verse 5, you'll find that when he went down to the city of Samaria, he preached Christ unto them. Philip had only one message. He clearly preached the person, and he preached the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that's a lesson that every budding preacher should learn. And if you're in the meeting this morning and you're hoping someday to be in God's service, either as a preacher or a missionary, I want you to learn from one of the greatest preachers and one of the greatest missionaries that the early church had. My friend, you're called to preach Jesus. I remember reading of one of the first missionaries to the Eskimo people. When he went there, he had the plan of campaign out. Of course, he'd got to get the language, and they'd got to be able to talk to them, got to be able to make them understand. And so he decided he would set about it right from the very basis, and he would teach them the doctrine of creation, and he would show them the fall, and he would go right through the Old Testament, but he would be very careful before he introduced them to the cross, because he wanted them to have the whole groundwork laid. For 2 years he labored, and he saw nothing. He preached the law of God. Never produced a tear. There wasn't one sign of sorrow for sin. There wasn't the slightest indication of repentance. And after 2 years, he was broken. And he felt like saying, Lord, I want to go home. I want to get out of this. Wasting my time. When he came to the place of brokenness, God really spoke to his heart. Why don't you preach Jesus to them? But Lord, They maybe don't understand enough.
Preach Jesus to them anyway. He turned to John 3 and 16. He started preaching Christ, who he was, why he came, what he did. For the first time, he saw men melted. He saw hearts broken. And he saw souls saved. I want to tell you this morning, friend. The world needs Christ. And the message that's got to be preached by this pulpit, by the message that's got to be preached by our membership, the message that's got to be taken out, is not the message of a denomination. It's not the message of some particular little set of doctrines or dogmas. It is not the peculiar theological setup of some group of people. It is Christ, personally. Christ, the Son of God. Christ, who is God in the flesh. Christ, who is the only sinless lamb for sinners slain. Christ, whose blood atones. Christ, whose power can deliver. Christ, who rose from the dead. Christ, who is sitting at the right hand of God. Christ, who is coming back again. My friend, that was the message that Philip preached. Jesus Christ. Let me say this to you this morning. If you're in this meeting without the Savior, if you're here with a burden of sin and your heart is black with ungodliness, your conscience is stirred at the thought of your own rebellion against God, you feel that you're on your way to a lost eternity, man, let me tell you, I have the message for you, and that message is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Jesus Christ is able to save. He's able to save to the uttermost all that come to God by him. He's able to save you where you sit. He's able to save you instantaneously. He's able to save you eternally. For his precious blood has power to cleanse away every sin, redeem you unto God, reconcile you to his Father, and mark you for a place in heaven forevermore. He is able to save. He preached Jesus Christ. Now, you'll see that he preached from Isaiah 53. Philip has a lot to teach us here. When he found an interest in Scripture, he didn't start wasting the chance. He took the Scriptures and immediately he began to preach Jesus. You will notice that he preached a scriptural Savior. That is, the Christ of the Word. He preached Christ as the Bible spoke of him. He did not preach your modern, sentimental, trashy view of Jesus. The Jesus of the modern evangelical movement is so far removed from the Jesus of the Word of God as to be what Paul called another Jesus. This man preached Christ as he's revealed in Scripture. That means he preached the eternal deity of Christ. That means he made no apology for the perfect humanity of Christ. He preached a sinless Savior, the Lamb without blemish. He preached a suffering Savior. Notice how in the Scripture before us there is the emphasis upon the slaughtering of the Lamb and the shearing of the Lamb. He preached a suffering Savior. It's interesting in Scripture that suffering is of the very essence of atonement. There can be no atonement without the suffering of the bleeding Lamb of God. That's what Philip preached. He preached a substitutionary Savior, the Lamb for sinners slain. Oh, how sweet is the gospel message. My sins were laid on Jesus, the spotless Lamb of God. Thank God he is the substitute. And I believe he preached a successful Savior. He preached one who redeemed, one who rose again from the dead, one who reigns in heaven, and one who will return in victory and in glory. Now, these are the great themes for the gospel preacher. These are the great themes for the soul-winning witness. And if you would win souls for Christ, then must you also preach Jesus.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.